It's time for the MSO News Sports Baseball Insider, Andy Carboni, and here he is in December. Hi, Andy. Welcome.
Happy to be back once again, but not happy with the news we have to report on this Thursday.
Big word, lockout. Tell us about it.
Well, the league officially locked out its players' association at midnight after the two sides could not reach an agreement on a new labor deal. Commissioner Rob Manfred released a statement saying he's disappointed, but the goal is to protect the upcoming season during this lockout. Team officials and players will not be allowed to communicate. This is the ninth work stoppage in total for Major League Baseball, the first one since 1994, the first lockout since 1990. Major issues between the two sides are the overhauling the economic system, free agency, revenue sharing, universal designated hitter, expanded playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. No matter how you put it, Bill, lockout strikes. I lose interest when that stuff starts to happen. So I don't care what they're talking about, what they're doing. Just get the agreement done and let's get back to business.
Yeah, so it's millionaires dealing with millionaires here, so it appears. And so I'm not sure how interested the fans are going to be or what the level of being turned off by the fans are is going to be. But I think there's going to be an element of that at some point.
Oh, that definitely will. I think where it's this early, we're not getting that close to spring training and that type of thing. Maybe you won't see as much backlash, but if this keeps dragging on, of course, that's going to rear its ugly head. And then, and I said millionaires fighting against millionaires, it's more or less like billionaires fighting with millionaires. It's just stuff we can't comprehend, and we just want to see the product on the field and have some entertainment. And hopefully this doesn't take things away from us for too long.
No, I hear you. I think you're absolutely right. All right, what do you got? We have some Red Sox player news to share with the listeners here.
Yeah, Red Sox have been active since last we spoke to help the rotation after losing Eduardo Rodriguez. Sox signing pitcher Michael Walker to a one-year, $7 million contract. With the Rays last year, Walker was 3-5 with a 5.05 ERA. Red Sox then also signed left-handed starting pitcher James Paxton to a one-year deal worth $10 million with a two-year team option. He's continuing to come back from Tommy John surgery. General Manager Chaim Bloom says that Paxton probably won't be ready until after the All-Star break. He pitched just an inning in the third for the Mariners last year. Then right before the lockout came through last night, Sox signed old friend pitcher Rich Hill from Milton to a one-year $5 million deal. The 42-year-old has pitched for 11 teams in his 18-year career. Last year he pitched for the Rays and Mets. He'll pitch for the Red Sox from 2010 to 2012. He then came back in 2015. And the big news of the night last night, which really is confusing me to all ends, Sox traded outfielder Hunter Renfroe to the Brewers to bring back Jackie Bradley Jr. The deal also included two prospects coming back to Boston. Red Sox also signing pitcher Ryan Brazier and catcher Kevin Plawlicki to one-year contracts yesterday. And they also signed former Tigers outfielder Christian Stewart and former Twins and Rays infielder Rob Refsnyder to minor league deals. So Chaim Bloom has been active. One of those moves, obviously, a major head scratch for me. I can't wrap my head around the Renfroe for Bradley deal, but what do I know?
What is your question on that deal?
Well, Renfroe, obviously a fan favorite here last year. Powerful right-handed hitter, which just adds another element to the lineup. Played great defense in right field, probably the best right fielder we've seen at Fenway on a consistent basis in quite some time. He plays he was making and throws he was making from the outfield were, you know, taking you back to the days of Dwight Evans. He led the American League in outfield assists. Jackie Bradley, he left the Red Sox to sign a free agent contract with the Brewers last year. He wasn't even a starting player last year for the Brewers after getting off to a slow start. He became a fourth outfielder. He batted just .163 last year. He makes more money than Hunter Renfroe. So I am totally confused by this deal. I thought Renfroe was a great fit here in Boston. Mm. I thought maybe they might try to extend his deal. They had one more year left with him. I mean, obviously, Jackie Bradley, a great outfielder. You can't take that away from him. Potentially, obviously, going to slide right back in as your center fielder. Maybe Kike Hernandez goes to be your regular second baseman at this point, or Jackie Bradley could play right. He did a little at times with the Red Sox in his tenure, leave Kike in center if they sign a more solid fit at second base. So, this is really the head scratch that the Red Sox fans are trying to wrap their head around this morning as they have their cup of coffee.
Yeah, it seems like even at the best, you have to do a lot of gymnastics to justify this deal. It seems a little weird. You're right. All right. Other team news, and there is more Red Sox team news.
Yeah, they announced they will tender 2022 contracts to all 27 remaining unsigned players of the Major League roster. They also picked up the option on manager Alex Cora's contract for 2023 and 2024. Red Sox have hired Mike Groupman as an assistant general manager. He was the director of international scouting for the Brewers. Oh, maybe there's a connection here with that trade between Renfroe and the Brewers with Jackie Bradley. I don't know. Maybe there's a connection here. He'll be in charge of the team's analytics department. And in case you missed it the other day, I mean, talk about Red Sox spending money. They really are going to be throwing some money around as they're officially getting into the hockey business. Fenway Sports Group has reached a deal to buy a controlling stake in the Pittsburgh Penguins. The deal still has to be approved by the NHL Board of Governors, and is expected to happen before the end of the year.
Yeah, I think sometimes people think that the Red Sox are tied in with the Bruins, but that's just with the Nesson tie-ins and so on. But, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, now, other news? Do we have other news from around Major League Baseball?
Yeah, we can get the Major League Baseball.
Oh, no, let's skip that. I'm sorry. We got a couple more Red Sox notes here, I think, yeah.
Yeah, third baseman Rafael Devers was named to the All-MLB second team a week ago. David Ortiz, among 30 players on the ballot for the Hall of Fame class of 2020. Big Pappy is among 13 first-time candidates, including Jonathan Papelbon and Alex Rodriguez. Holdovers on the ballot, former Sox players Curt Schilling, Manny Ramirez, Roger Clemens, and Billy Wagner. And Clemens and Schilling are on the ballot for the 10th and final time. Ortiz is also going to be honored at the Sports Museum's annual fundraising event, The Tradition. That's going to be held December 8th at the TD Garden. And, of course, I know a topic we always bring up each and every report, Red Sox Classics on Nesson Plus. It's the best of 2007 this week. First pitch, 3 o'clock. It's probably the only baseball you're going to see for quite some time of these Nesson Classics, the way things are going with the lockout. It's a game for September the 12th. David Ortiz hitting 2 home runs. The second home run of the game, a walk-off shot, bottom of the ninth. Red Sox beat the Devil Rays 5-4 at Fenway. Big Papi drove in all 5 runs for the Sox in this game.
Yeah, too bad they couldn't have had the lockout during the pandemic season. Yeah, you know?
That would have been absolutely perfect.
Yeah. We would never have had to play that season. That would have been nice. You're right.
That is definitely the forgettable season in Red Sox history, no doubt about it.
All right, now let's go to Major League Baseball to find out what's happening with the other MLB teams and players.
Well, lots of things have happened since the last time we spoke. The Cleveland Indians officially changed their name to the Guardians. The team settled a lawsuit with the Cleveland Guardians roller derby team that allowed them to change their name without any foreseeable legal ramifications. Guardians gear now on sale on the club's website and team store. Social media handles have been transitioned to the Guardians as well, and they've changed the signs at the ballpark. So don't say Cleveland Indians anymore. You'll get slapped on the wrist. One of the best players.
I'm wondering if the Giants or A's will change their names to the Rollers after the Bay City Rollers, the roller derby team out there. You know, they may have to pay a lot of money to get that.
Yeah, that's true. Anything is possible these days, but obviously none of that's going to happen until the lockout's taken care of. So
all right,
we'll have to wait and see.
I digress. Go ahead.
One of the best players in Mariners history is going to be recognized this summer. Ichiro Suzuki will be inducted to the Mariners Hall of Fame on August 27th. Suzuki won the AL MVP and Rookie of the Year award in 2001. The American and National League MVP awards were given out since we last spoke. In the American League, Angels pitcher-designated hitter Shohei Ohtani gets the award. In the outfield for the National League, the Phillies' Bryce Harper. Also, Major League Baseball has announced they will start providing housing for minor league players that are not making a salary of $100,000 or more, or if they're on a major league contract. They also increase minimum salaries for minor league players from $400 to $700 a week. I think that Major League Baseball could do a little bit better than that for the minor league players, considering some of the salaries that have been thrown around since last we spoke. Things were getting quite wild on the free agent front, everyone trying to sign players before this lockout, and we'll just highlight a few of them. The Rays, even though he wasn't a free agent, they linked up their 20-year-old shortstop Wander Franco to a 12-year, $223 million contract extension. The Mets went crazy last Friday, signing 3 players, outfielder Starling Marte to a 4-year, $78 million deal, outfielder Mark Canha, a 2-year, $26.5 million contract, and infielder Eduardo Escobar, a 2-year, $20 million contract. And on Sunday, the Rangers signed infielder Marcus Semien to a 7-year, $175 million deal. And the Twins sign outfielder Brian Buxton to a 7-year contract extension worth $100 million. Then on Monday, all heck really broke loose as the Rangers signed infielder Corey Seager to a 10-year, $325 million contract. Mets added again, signing 3-time Cy Young Award winner Max Scherzer to a 3-year, $130 million deal. He's going to have the largest salary per season in Major League history at this point, $43.33 million. Then the Mariners inked up 2021 AL Cy Young Award winner Robbie Ray to a 5-year, $115 million contract. And then on Tuesday, the Tigers signed infielder Javi Baez to a 6-year, $140 million deal. So plenty of money is being made in Major League Baseball, Bill. That's a definite from what we can see with these salaries getting thrown around in the last week or so.
And I understand Scherzer is on the player negotiating team. So here's a guy making $43 million going to the table to try to get more.
Yeah, not a good look. Not a good look for the average folk out there. So we'll have to see how this all plays out, that's for sure. It's going to be potentially a long time until this gets rectified.
But in all seriousness, Andy, here we have we just talked about a player to earn $43 million a year, and then earlier you mentioned about trying to subsidize housing for other ball players.
Yeah, it's really something that you just can't, it just doesn't add up either way. Why can't Major League Baseball put more money into the players in the minor leagues? Obviously, that's the future of the game, is the players in the minors, and those players have to struggle to get by, and now they're going to get some housing. Well, it's probably more going to be like college dorms type of deal. It's not going to be any kind of luxury apartment complexes that these players are going to be in the minor leagues. And again, with that $400 to $700 a week salary, I mean, like, they could up that up quite easily and still have plenty of profit in their system. So, like you said, with Scherzer getting 43.3 and these minor league players just inching right along to try to make a buck and have to work in the off season and that type of thing. So things just don't add up. But obviously this minor league situation is not part of this current lockout and what they're fighting over. It's all bigger things, that's for sure.
No, that's right. And, you know, on the other hand, though, you do think that investing, and I'm sure they do invest in the minor leagues, but making sure that really flourishes is growth for the game, because that's where the young kids go to the games. I mean, they don't. I mean, there are times when the first game they go to is a major league game, but around the country, that's not the case. I mean, in other areas of the country, the first game is some kind of a minor league game to go to. You know,
absolutely. And yeah. Over the last year or so, they've even downsized minor league teams on each organization. They've cut out some teams, so it makes it harder for some people even to get to some games because they've lost teams in their area. So, it looks like a complete overhaul of everything needs to be done. That's for sure.
Yeah, and we'll overhaul this Baseball Insider report, too. No, we won't. But we haven't talked for a while because, Andy, we took Thanksgiving off, of all things, so that's crazy. But
you did. I hope you had a great holiday.
We did. All right. Well, Andy, always good talking with you, and we will talk again soon.
Looking forward to it.
There he is, our Baseball Insider, Andy Carbone, on MSONewsSports.com.